The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Begin with those public sector pay talks and the conclusion of them with a potential deal depending on what union members have to say, because considerations are now underway by members of the individual public sector unions after the government revised their pay offer to include a 3% increase for 2022, backdated to the start of February, which would be paid shortly after any new pay agreement is ratified. The new agreement, if accepted, will also see members given a pre-tax lump sum for the previous 9 months. So the question is if this agreement will be enough to stave off union discontent into the autumn. For the very latest, I'm joined by Pat Leahy, political editor of the Irish Times, and by John Boyle, General Secretary of the INTO. And Pat, when we spoke yesterday, you made the point that the devil was going to be in the detail. We have a bit more insight into the detail. Can you walk us through the salient points in it?
Yeah, a bit more detail, Anton, good morning, than we had yesterday. So there's a 3% increase, which will be paid shortly after the deal is ratified, if that is what happens, if a majority of unions vote for it. That 3% increase is backdated to February the 1st of this year, and that will be paid in a lump sum, according to the government. Now, we'll be taxed, of course, but what will happen is if the unions vote for the deal, then their members will probably in November, if the deal is ratified in October, they will get all that backdated pay in a single sum, probably in November. So that's obviously a reasonably juicy carrot. The other parts of the pay, of the proposed pay agreement, are a further 2% on March the 1st of next year, and a further 1.5% again on October the 1st of next year. So it covers this year and next year, but it's been reported in lots of places as over 2 years, but really the lifetime of this deal runs until the end of next year, and it is that 6.5% over a period of what, about 16 months or so. So that's what unions have to decide on. Union memberships will ballot at some stage over the coming weeks, and then the sort of aggregate of all those votes will be counted by the Irish Congress of Trade Unions in early October, and we will know then whether the deal is going to be accepted or not.
The lump sum in November sounds at first listen like a nice arrival as you come into winter. If you're getting effectively 9 months of pay in a glut and then a monthly increase thereafter. But the reality is by the time that lands, for a lot of the people who will be receiving it, it will be pretty much immediately absorbed by cost of living increases in terms of electricity, fuel, groceries and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I think that's right. And opponents of the deal inside and outside the union movement, I think, will make this point that although it, you know, might seem it might seem generous to people on the outside, or the numbers on it look generous on first inspection, it is clearly behind the rate of inflation that union members and everybody else are experiencing in their daily lives, and to that extent, you know, it will mitigate but not eliminate completely the drop in real disposable income that that public sector workers will experience. The only thing to say to that, I guess, is that there will be other measures that are general to everybody in the budget, and they will run along two tracks. There will be tax measures in the budget totaling about €1 billion or so, according to the pre-budget ceilings that have been agreed by the government parties, and everybody will benefit from those. There will also be one-off measures introduced in the budget that's sort of separate to the recurring budgetary expenditure numbers, without getting too technical about it, but those will be one-off measures, I suspect, along the lines that we've seen already, such as the fuel credit or the energy credit, and that they will form part of the budget day package as well. So on top of these secure pay increases that are on offer to public servants, they will also benefit, as will everybody else, from the budget day package.
Let's turn to that issue of the likely reaction from the unions involved. We have with us John Boyle, who is General Secretary of the INTO. John, in essence then, what you are going to be saying to your members is the deal that we have leaves you a net 5 to 6% worse off than you were this time last year, but you should go for it.
Well, I suppose my job is actually to listen to the members. And I have been listening very attentively since this broke yesterday. Spoke to a lot of members last evening. And what I'm hearing, they're echoing the general commentary, including what Pat has been saying in the last few days, that this is a balanced deal. It's, we believe, the negotiating team believes it's the absolute best we could have got. The Taoiseach believes that it leaves plenty of room for a cost of living package in the budget. Some of our members, for example, of young children going to school, have already availed of a package that was introduced during the summer where they don't have to pay for school transport this year. But there's no doubt about it. It does not match the 15% of inflation over the 3-year period of this deal.
So how are you so sure that it's the best that you could have got?
From this perspective, because when we were in negotiating with the government after the review in March, we eventually got into talks in June. And what was being offered wasn't credible at that point, 2.5 and 2.5. So we had no option but to threaten industrial action. We eventually got back to the table nearly 11 weeks later. And when we went into those negotiations for 18 hours, we made a significant improvement on what was being reported that morning in the paper, in that we have this backdating to March, to February. This takes into account that members and all workers actually have been struggling so hard throughout this year. So that backdating will help people certainly with their winter bills going into the Christmas period. And then the
but
fact
it
that
will, in essence, though, John, still leave people net significantly worse off than they were 12 months ago. They will effectively have taken, in real payment capacity terms, a roughly 6% pay cut.
We have to bear in mind that building momentum was negotiated at a time when the country was really, really in difficulty coming out of the COVID pandemic. So this 6.5%, which is the 6.5% for the middle income worker, but it's actually more, and we're very pleased with that aspect. Now, Pat didn't refer to it there, but into next year, there's a particularly large payment for those who are earning less than about 50k of 675 euro. So for the lower paid public servants, and there's quite a lot of those on very low incomes, that's a very significant part of the package as well. So when you take it in the round, we believe that what we have negotiated here gives respite, but our members will be balloting on this around the time of the budget, and they will be watching really closely to see if government are going to keep their promises. Because when we were in there talking to the government's officials from DEPA, they made it clear to us at the outset yesterday morning that there would be a package on the budget to help all citizens, the young children that we campaigned for in primary schools and the large classes, and the elderly and the pensioners that were mentioned on your programme.
Did they give you any specifics of that?
They didn't give specifics, but I think a lot of what's been talked about in political circles is already out there. And I would be confident now that this will concentrate minds, because it's not going to cost as much as has been reported in 2023. The overall cost of this package at 1.6 billion is over 3 years. It includes the earlier agreement that we negotiated 2 years ago. And bearing in mind that that agreement was dealing with some legacy issues going back nearly 20 years. So it's a very balanced agreement. And the feedback I'm getting, certainly from members, and even our executive, we'll be considering this over the weekend, talking to members. I think when the executive come back, they will have a lot of good things to say about the agreement, but obviously nobody ever gets everything they're looking for.
You said at the outset about listening to members. What's the reaction that you have gotten so far to this deal from your members?
The reactions I've got have been quite positive, in the sense that there's a big sea change in attitude since June, because there's absolutely no way members were going to buy that 2.5 and 2.5. The change in the agreement is that there's the backdating until February, which is going to result in, you know, a good package, if it's accepted, a good package coming in before Christmas. And then the lower paid aspect indeed is very significant.
And obviously your responsibility is the members of the INTO, but you would have an insight through the negotiating team into the broader picture across the public service unions. What's your expectation in relation to those unions? Would you expect the same kind of positivity?
Well, the negotiating team do come from four of the larger unions, and you know, speaking to some of them last night, they are getting positive feedback from members, but members are still very concerned about what you mentioned at the beginning, that this does not match inflation. Now, certainly for the people who are really strapped on the low incomes in the public service, it goes a long way towards matching inflation. But we must remember now, in the last year, government coffers have changed. There's been a transformation in the income to government by 11 billion euros in a year. And I would contend that workers have been responsible for the majority of that change. So certainly workers deserve a slice of that economic gain.
Well, that goes to an interesting point about the nature of those workers. And Pat Leahy, you might have a view on this, because if we cast our mind back to 2008, 2010, there was all of that issue of the divide between public and private sector, and the two pitted against each other. And already we're getting texts that say things like, so the private sector is to bear the burden of inflation and of insulating the public sector from the same. This is absolute madness. Bertinomics is back. Another saying, so the government is giving 1.4 billion-ish of the available 5.4 in fiscal space to the public sector. In other words, 25% of the available money for 13% of the working population. It is outrageous. This will hit the buffers at some point. Are we back, Pat, to that thing of the public and private sector worker being pitted against each other?
Well, look, I think people will always make that comparison, and public sector jobs are obviously secure on average, although there's lots of dispute on this. But, you know, there's also lots of data on it that public sector workers on average are paid slightly better, and pensions and terms and conditions and so forth. At the same time, there's many more kind of higher earners in the private sector, tends to have a much greater spread between lower earners and higher earners. Let me just go back to one point that you made there. And I checked this repeatedly with the Department of Public Expenditure in the aftermath of the deal's conclusion yesterday. Your texter is right that there's 5.7 billion in available fiscal space for the budget, but 3 billion of that is already taken up by pre-committed expenditure increases, cost of demographics, and so forth. So actually the available discretionary increase in current expenditure on budget day is just 2.7 billion euros, and 1.4 of that is being taken up with this. So the government is paying quite a high price in this, not just in fiscal terms, but also in kind of internal political terms, because all the ministers are now lining up against the Department of Finance, Department of Public Expenditure, looking for increased allocations in the budget. And they will all make their cases for, you know, for the justice of their own claims, as it were. But the fact is, because of the cost of this deal, if it is ratified, then there will be much less scope for other ministers to receive increases in their spending. So the government is paying, if this does buy the industrial peace that ministers hope it does, that is something obviously that the government prizes very highly, but it is paying a significant cost for it.
By your mathematics, roughly half of the available wiggle room spending that they had, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, depending, Anton, how you define the extra spending, but certainly the spending room that is not already committed. Okay, about 2.4 billion.
John Boyle has reacted fairly negatively to that suggestion, at least just judging by body language. John, you wanted to come in?
Yeah, well first of all, it's not 1.4 billion over a 1 year period in 2023. It's over the whole duration of the agreement. Some of it has already been spent, actually. So it's over 2021, 22, 23, and into 24. But there's no doubt that the Taoiseach said yesterday there's still plenty of room for a sustainable, fair package for all citizens. In terms of this public sector, private sector divide, I mean, over the summer we've heard many strong unionised workplaces in the private sector have got deals in around the 3 to 4% per annum as well, similar to what we negotiated yesterday. I suppose the key message in this is if you join a union, and, you know, we put on the green jersey back in 2009, for 11 or 12 years, public servants did keep their jobs. But they kept their jobs at a reduction in salary of 20%, and it took 12 years for that to be
reinstated. Although there'll be a lot of private sector workers who say that their reduction was 100% because their job disappeared, and texts coming in saying things like, this deal is excellent, you can't expect to match inflation, it increases their pension too, and it's over 6% in less than a year and a half. Oh, but I could dream of getting that in the private sector.
There's so many unionised workers throughout the summer across so many different workplaces, from Waterford through to Dublin Bus, Éireann Road Éireann, and the banks. They've all matched that, and I'm delighted that they're unionised, because that's what unions do and that's what I'm paid to do.
Well, on that note of the recruiting drive, John, thank you very much. That is John Boyle, who is General Secretary of the INTO, and before John was Pat Leahy, Political Editor of the Irish Times.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network,
weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.